Every time we cycled through, we were either have another baby, usually have another baby. But next year will be 30 years for us in Teen Challenge. Yes, amazing. And so these days, it's grandbabies when we cycle back through. Amen. So, two beautiful, awesome grandsons. We have a couple things going on that I want to share with you. Some new stuff. And this is part of the new stuff. So, the also part of the new stuff is that I'm too old to preach anymore without these. So, yeah. Comes with being a grandpappy. But on our farm, we have a lot of old hardwood fencing. And so our guys are taking the old rotten fencing and hand making these crosses if you want to get one today. Yeah, on the back says handmade by Teen Challenge students, has our address on there. And behold, I make all things new, Revelation 21:5. Isn't that beautiful? It's awesome. And so if you want to bring one home today, I think like $25 or something, or $2,500, whatever you want to do, we'll take it. There's a couple of things that also that you know we've been doing lately in traveling, and that's, you know, a lot of people, you can't ever get out to the farm we have in Fredericksburg where we work with young men that struggle with addiction. And so we put together a little video just to give you an idea of just at least some of the beauty of where we're at. So can you guys play that now? Is that ready?
If my
You know, everything that we've ever done in ministry has always been backed up by family and churches. And this church has just played a huge part in, we definitely just wouldn't be where we are. And that wouldn't be what it is without you. So thank you. You know, part of days like today are us coming back saying thank you. I probably preach in this church maybe 13, 14 times now. We're getting old, amen? But it's always amazing to come back and to report and just see new faces and some older faces and know that there's just this huge body of Christ always praying for our little farm in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Amen? So thank you for that. Ultimately, Teen Challenge is about these guys. So come on up here, boys. We have all rookies today, straight across the board. First at bat, have no idea what's going to happen when the ball comes. Probably never know, might strike out, might be all right. But just gonna let these guys just share a little bit about their life and story, and then I'll turn things over to Cindy and let her share what God's doing in her life. So, all right, big guy.
Come on, buddy. Thank you. My name's Slay Thompson. I'm from North Carolina. I'm 23. I've been fighting a drug addiction for about 5 years now. Been going to rehab since 2009.
Yeah, get up there, boy.
A little bit nervous. And it's a big step. You know, I finally was able to give myself to God, surrender everything that I've had. You know, the biggest thing was pride. And now that I have, I found love. I found peace. I've only been sober for a month and so a couple of days, but it feels great. It feels good to actually wake up and ready to work for Christ, ready to, and it's just lovely. I love it, you know. So I love being sober. So.
All right, this one is so nervous that I have to hold the microphone and ask questions. So what is your name?
Michael.
How old are you, Mike?
I'm 20 years old.
I got socks older than you. How long have you been in Teen Challenge?
Been here a little over a month.
A little over a month. And what brought you to Teen Challenge?
My addiction to pain pills.
When did you start doing drugs?
Like a little over a year ago.
So it's quick and quick in his life?
Quick, yes.
Quick in your life. And so what's God doing right now?
He is changing me piece by piece.
Yeah, amen. That'll work. That's a good one. He did good. He hit a home run on that one. And how much more time do you have in Teen Challenge?
3 more months.
3 more months with us. And what do you need the Lord to do in those 3 months? What do you hope that he does?
Makes me into the person that needs to be the person for his will, to carry out his will.
Amen. And never do drugs again. Amen.
Amen.
And never do drugs again.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's give these guys a hand. Amen. All right, you guys can go. You go. I've relinquished the mic to my better half.
You're so sweet. He really is, actually. It's been sweet since I was 14 years old. Yeah.
I was 15.
Yeah, we fell in love really young, got married young, and our kids are all grown. We have 2 grandsons and another one on the way. So, I'm incredibly emotional this morning, so if I cry, forgive me. It's all about them. It's all about these guys. And as I watch the video, every guy there is one of our sons in the Lord. It never gets old. We've been doing this for almost 30 years, and our family is very large. And we always wonder, love welcoming another one in. So you guys, just be blessed. Let God just minister you, take you to a place you've never been, place of freedom. True freedom. I too was watching the children here in the front this morning and just couldn't help but think about how that's where my children grew up. And because of that, it kept them through some very difficult times. Gentlemen that we get in our program were raised the same way, many of them, and it's what kept them even through the dark times and brought them back to the altar again. So it's just absolutely beautiful. You know, I think about my son. He didn't wave a flag, which I love that. But he was raised in a different environment. He learned how to do rap music and do beats at a young age because we were in the inner city, D.C., when our children were young. So he went on to do things like that in his future. It was really actually neat. But when I look at the children, I'm very emotional for another reason. The Lord gave me a vision about 12 years ago to help women who have drug addiction problems. But not just the women, their children as well. Oftentimes women get trapped in a cycle of addiction, well, more times than not, and they can't get out for different reasons, various. Maybe because they're the weaker vessel and they're a little more vulnerable and they depend on the finances that come in through however they get their drugs, or the gentleman who's taking care of them or really not taking care of them. And then when it comes time to get help, they don't want to leave their children. They don't want to leave their children in the environment that they're in. And they oftentimes they have nowhere for their kids to go. So God is opening amazing doors. I'll never forget 11 years ago, we stood, well, 12 years ago, we stood down here at this altar, and God was sending us to Fredericksburg, and people at this church prayed over us and prophesied over us. And it helped send us forth. And today I'm standing here and I'm presenting another ministry to you, a ministry called Beauty for Ashes. And and it's going to be a home for women who struggle with addiction, who have children, and they can bring their children with them while they get help. It'll be a 12 to 14 month program. And it's an incredible model. But the new development in this, and it's quite incredible, is this house. We are working with a foundation, and I'm presenting these for the very first time ever. No one knows about this property except for our board and our very closest, dearest friends and our family. So you're seeing this property for the first time because of what God did here 12 years ago. I know that you'll pray and intercede for this property. We have had many meetings now with the foundation, with the county. This house is on 60 acres. It's much like the farm that the boys are at. It's tranquil. It's a loving home environment. Needs a lot of work. And if you want to, that there are a couple of buildings on the property. This particular one would become a classroom and a chapel. And then what's the other building there? This would be turned into the offices. Everything would be right there on the campus. And then the main house is 6,000 square feet. And the entire basement is unfinished, so it can be turned into a nursery. There's 7 bedrooms. Just so much space and so much fun for children, too. That's a view from inside of the house out so you could see how close those two buildings are to the home. And this is the front porch area looking out on the property. And there's the house again. If you could just start to pray, there's a lot to do, a lot of work to be done. We'll be putting in our permit application with the county in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And it requires quite the portfolio along with that. There are upgrades that are going to need to take place. So I need prayer for everything from A to Z when it comes to this property. And if you would like to see how you can get involved, you're more than welcome to see me after the service, and I'll be glad to talk to you. But God wants to do some amazing things in the lives of these women with children. Teen Challenge across our country only has 3 centers like this. This would be the 4th one. And we just found a great need for it because so many women were going and getting help and leaving at the 2 to 3 month mark because they wanted to get back home to their children for whatever reasons. There's many different. But you can talk to me after that, after the service, about that as well. But please just start to cover it in prayer. Believe for miracles, and that God will just open the door. The county staff, their hearts would be open to this. Neighbors, so on and so forth. Bless you, and thank you for hearing about this new ministry.
So yeah, this would be the first teen challenge for women with children on the entire Eastern Seaboard, from Maine to Florida, very first one. And so that we have time. So, babe, why don't you come stand here? Can we have a bunch of ladies come up and just pray for this right now? We can do that, right? Let's do that. Let's just take a minute. You know, we have seen this need our entire ministry lives, just not really sure how we would deal with it. And we need a lot of things to happen specifically with this foundation. The bottom line is we're asking for the property. We want it gifted to us. We're talking about millions of dollars. So we serve a big God. And if you guys could just release this, pray for this foundation and these people on this board, that God would touch their hearts and that this would work out, that the Lord would provide the funds. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, you've commanded us in your word to look out for the weaker vessels. And there are women that are struggling with addiction all over this country. They have children. The children are victims of abuse. They're stuck. They're trapped. They've got nowhere to go. There's no resources. And Lord, you want to raise up a place, a light. And you have anointed my wife to do it. I pray over her in the name of Jesus. The strength of a prophet. The strength of a prophet. That she will lead and be anointed in every meeting. Lord, you open up every door. We pray for this foundation in Jesus' name. Lord, all the keys to this property, just let it be loosed. Let it be loosed. And we just pray that control will be relinquished to you and your kingdom. We pray over this house that it will be renovated this year in Jesus' name. We pray for the county that we'll get approval this year. We pray for the finances that they'll come in so that we can fight this battle and get this thing done. We pray for thousands and thousands of people to volunteer to renovate the house. Carpenters, electricians. Lord, we just speak to all these things. Paint, carpet, everything for a loving home that women with their children can find Jesus the way these young men are finding Jesus. And Lord, we pray as if it were, we thank you as if it were already done. Because by faith we call things that are not as though they were. So we thank you for this new ministry. And we bless your name for raising it up in power in 2013 to save lives. To save lives. And raise people up to pray for Beauty for Ashes. Raise women up in this church just to commit themselves to pray every single day for this ministry, Lord, until it's open. We thank you, Lord, for this church and what it has meant to our family and to our ministry, Lord. And we just seal it. We seal this thing today, Lord. Amen. 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 Things. They always have little demons in them. They try to throw you off. If you have your Bibles this morning, you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I really almost just fell out of my seat when Tim had... All the scriptures in the Bible, of every scripture in this Bible, he quoted my text. He quoted my text. What are the odds? What? About, well, let's see, there's 4,000 pages. Yeah, 4,000 pages. How many words in each page? How many verses? I'd say the odds are about 1,000,000,000 to 1. But at the end of the day, for me, it was just more confirmation. When stuff like that happens, it just energizes you as a minister. You're like, yes, God really did speak to me. But anyway, since it's been... Well, 18 months since I was here. It's been 18 months since you heard my Italian joke. All right. So for the sake of the new people, there's a man traveling down the road, horse and buggy, got himself in the middle of nowhere, and his horse died. He had money, and he was in farm country, and he saw a farm up on a hill, sort of like our farm, horses, nice horse. And so he's got money, so he figures, well, I'll just go up to this farmhouse, knock on a door, make a deal with this farmer, and buy a horse. And there was a beautiful horse there, so he had his eye on it. So he went and knocked on the door. Little Italian guy opened the door. What can I do for you? I'm Italian, by the way. Man, I was traveling down the road. I'm stuck. My horse just dropped dead on me. I see you got a nice horse. I give you $500 for your horse. Little Italian man said, hey, no, I cannot sell you this horse. You see this horse? He don't look so good. The guy said, look, man, the horse looks great to me. He's got four legs. You know what I mean? He's breathing. He's moving. He's in better shape than my horse. I'll give you $750 for it. Little Italian said, no, you don't understand. I cannot sell you this horse. You see this horse? He don't look so good. The guy says, look, man, please, I'm desperate. I'll give you $1,000 for your horse. He looks great to me. So finally, little man tells you, okay, but I tell you, this horse, he don't look so good. $1,000 later, deal done. Next day, early in the morning. Bah, 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 bah. Little Italian man opens the door, and he's the man he had sold the horse to, and he's furious. And he grabbed him, and he shook him. He said, you little Italian, you sold me a blind horse. Little Italian said, hey, I tried to tell you this horse, he don't look so good. Some of y'all didn't get it. That's all right. Ponder that in a year and a half when I come back. Maybe by then you'll get it. The wives always get it. You know? The wives do always get it. So. Anyways, NIV this morning, Acts chapter 20. Paul is saying goodbye to Ephesus. And there is great emotion. In fact, just to contextualize this for you, if you go just to the last verses of Acts chapter 20, they were the Bible says in verse 58, they were so grieved because they knew that they would never see his face again. And so with great emotion, the context is, these are my final thoughts for you. You're never going to see this face again. You'll never see this body again. This will be the last message I preach to you. This will be the last word I put in your spirit. And so I think, you know, when you cruise through this book and you study and you try to understand the history of it and the context of how it was written, for me, moments like this stand out more than just other ordinary moments in the Bible. The last words of Jesus, for instance, the last words of John the Baptist, the last words of Peter, the last words of Paul. These are the things that these are critical moments. This is what I want you to get, people. You're never going to see my face again. Get this in your spirit. And so in Acts chapter 20, we'll pick up in verse 34. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, we just thank you for your word today. And I ask that just in these next few moments that you will put this word in our spirit. That we will not just come to this house today to be hearers of your word, but that we will leave doers of your word. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say, and our hands and our feet, that we might go out and do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to go back again. You know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this hard work, we must help the weak. Now, the Greek word for weak is asteno, and it means to fall into sickness. By doing this hard work, we must help the weak. We must help those that are falling into sickness. You know that terrible, like, achy feeling that you get when you're getting ready to get a cold? You know what I'm talking about? Not the day you wake up with the cold, but the day before you get the cold. When your legs start to ache, when stuff that you hurt when you were a kid starts hurting. Amen? Come on, some of y'all are with me on that. Y'all young people are like, what? What? But y'all Tylenol people are like, yeah, I'm with you, I'm with you. The older you get, things hurt you didn't even know you had. Last night, my wife was like, I think my gallbladder hurts. But my gallbladder was removed, so I don't know what hurts. Wherever my gallbladder used to be, that's what's hurting. I was like, wow, okay. That's old. That's getting old, right? That's getting old. We are called to help strengthen people who are falling into sickness. Wow. This young man just stood up here and told us in the last year he has fallen into sickness. The world we live in calls this sickness addiction and says there is no cure. And so it's a death sentence to fall into that kind of sickness. But we know better, amen? For we know a God that heals all our diseases. And the message of Teen Challenge is, I don't care who you are or what you've done, the Lord is able to heal you. You don't have to stand up and say, my name is Mike and I'm an alcoholic or a drug addict. You can if you want to, but you can also stand up and say, my name is Mike and I used to be, until the Lord caught me in my sickness. Amen. So, strengthening people in their sickness. And it was illustrated so beautifully by Paul in the same chapter. So let's just go right back up, turn the page backwards, if you will. Still in Acts chapter 20. It's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to do it. And in the same chapter in the Bible, the example was of asteneo was laid out for us. Strengthening someone who is falling into sickness. And in verse 7 of Acts chapter 20, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. A long, boring sermon. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated, in a window was a youth, a young man named Eutychus. The Bible says he was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on and on. Have you ever fell asleep in church? Come on, for real. Wow. Lots of you. Please don't fall asleep on me right now. You could die. And so it's one thing to be in a dangerous place during the sermon. It's not like he was in the front row. He was already seated in a dangerous place in an open window. In a high-story building. So already in a place of danger, gets more dangerous when he falls asleep. And the Bible says he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. We have, have I lived this? We live in a culture where everybody's in the window. Where many Christians even have one ear on the street and one ear on the church, have a body half in, half out. Sitting in the window in church is not a good place to be sitting, especially in a third story window when it's open. You can be distracted by the world. you can fall into a place of danger. And certainly when this young man propped himself up in the window, if you would have told him, you are going to fall asleep during the sermon and fall out of a third-story window and die, he probably would have moved to another pew. Amen? Probably would have moved it on up to the front row. We're living in a dangerous culture, in a dangerous country, where there's a lot of death. We're living in a culture where there's a lot of people falling into sickness. And here's a young man who was literally falling, literally fell into a quick sickness that resulted in splatation and immediate death. I don't even know if that's a word. Splatation. Anyways, it wasn't pretty. It ain't pretty. You fall from a third-story window and die. I don't think it's pretty. And here's where the disconnect, I think, has been for a long time. And even just now, I feel the Lord's just doing something in our country, in church in general. There has been, for a good long time, people who are dirty, bloody, dying, and in trouble have felt a separation from the church. They have felt an us versus them mentality. They don't want to come to church. You know why? They're afraid. They're afraid of what you are going to do when you look at them. How you're going to act when you see their hair and their tattoos and their tackle box face. That's what I call it, tackle box face. There's piercings everywhere these days. Eyes, nose, ears, throat. I mean, it's insane. But these kids need Jesus. And they need love and acceptance. And for a good long time, kids, worldly kids, don't feel comfortable in church. So there's just been this huge cultural separation in our country as our country has moved more toward a straight sinful land. The church has not quickly followed to bring them back. And so one of the reasons why I just love this story so much is because there was a conscious decision by the pastor, by the reverend, by the man of God to stop preaching. Sure, he could have gone on and on and even used it as a sermon illustration. You fall asleep when I'm preaching, you die, people. You know what I mean? You better stay up in this house, stay close to me where it's safe. Get up in here, don't see what happens. See? Could have went over to the window, looked out, got the whole church to look down. See? That's what happens when you fall asleep when I preach. That's kind of the mentality that our country was wrapped in for a long, long time. It was that kind of preaching. Judgment, judgment, burn, burn, judgment, judgment. And that's why we now have a third generation of people that's just turned off by this entire book, because they see it as the anti-book. This is not the book of freedom to people in our culture anymore. This is the book of bondage, and it's a lie, and it's sad. But it's based on the way we acted. And so this man decided to stop preaching, closed up shop, put his money where his mouth is, and in verse 10, went down and threw his body on the young man. Wow. Really? I might have sent down a crew, called 911. You know, we've had a death at the church. You know, there comes a time where you as a believer have to make a conscious effort to get bloody with people. It wasn't from the third story window. Brother, we're praying for you. Good luck with that. Here's a card for a brain surgeon. You know, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Closed it up. Stopped the sermon. Went down the steps in faith and endowment of power to pour his strength into somebody who had fallen into weakness. Wow. Stenio. The last thing I'm going to leave with you people in Ephesus is this. Take all the strength that you have as a human being and pour it into people who are falling into sickness. The way I did with Eutychus. Comes down, makes a conscious effort to go to the fallen, the broken, and in this case, the dead. Wow. I mean, this is the same dispensation in which we are living. It's not like some new awesome thing has happened between, you know, this is the same Holy Spirit, the same Jesus. Paul was a man like I'm a man, like you're a man, like you're a woman. This is the same deal here. Nothing special has happened since then. This is the same God. takes his own body and lays it on a dead body and illustrates to everybody, I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid to fail in this. I'm going to lay on a dead person and I'm going to take the strength of Jesus in me and breathe life into this fallen young man. Because in his spirit, and even in this, in the original Greek, it's the same thing when Jairus' daughter had died. The same words, the same terminology. When Jesus said, oh, not dead, just sleep. Same word in the Greek. Paul, not dead, not dead, looks dead, not dead. Because when it comes to the power of God, nothing is dead. Not even dead people. Try to wrap your mind around that. Amen. Wrap your mind around that. That Lazarus can be dead and his body stinketh. And Jesus say, come forth. As if he could really hear him. But he could? Wow. We've seen so much of this in our years. We've seen so much of this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul lays on a dead young man and he's raised from the dead. He comes back to life. The people were astonished. I mean, this is... Paul went down and threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and they ate. One minute he's dead, the next minute he's eating dinner. And the only difference is that there was a man of God, someone who was strong in faith, moving his anointing to say, I'm going to break through all this junk, even if it means me getting bloody and me getting dirty, to save this young man. So it can be an example to this church. So when then I leave them and I say to them, let the Lord strengthen you in such a way that you minister to those who are falling into sickness. Now, there's two ways to go here right now in our country. There's two ways to go as a believer. One is doom, gloom, and despair. Woe is us, agony, agony, Sodom and Gomorrah, burn, 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 store up the food, go move into a cave. Jesus, even so, Lord, come quickly. It's getting darker. I get that. It is definitely getting darker. There's more death. There's more horrible stuff happening. It's certainly getting darker, and we're certainly in trouble. You can doom it, gloom it, or you can say, Lord Jesus, strengthen me to go down the steps and be with them in their death. There's only one way that this country is going to turn around. And that is if the church gets right first, repents and lines up with this book, and then decides to go to work. We are lazy. I am an Assembly of God, ordained Assembly of God minister. In the 1990s, we came up with this Decade of Harvest deal. You've been around that long. Remember the Decade of Harvest thing? In the 90s, we're going to open up all these new... We're going to have a huge decade of harvest. Cute idea. But to me, the math was never right. The symbolism was never right. If you want to have a decade of harvest, you need to have 3 decades of sowing. That's not how it works. Isn't that so American? That's just so American. We're going to have harvest now. Wait, what? Doesn't someone have to till up the soil? Where's the fertilizer and the seed and the weeds and the sweat and the... You don't just get the garden tomatoes, amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Not the wax balls from Giant. I'm talking about garden tomatoes. I'm talking about you can make a sandwich and that's enough, just the tomato. You can't just get that right now. It's February. But we're going to get that in July because somebody's getting ready to go to work. So I feel this in my spirit. I believe the Lord is going to do unleash a ridiculous end time outpouring, just unreal in this country, not some in this country, But it will start with us just looking in the mirror and say, Lord, send me. Whatever it takes, my time, my money, whatever it takes, give me enough power to pour into people that are falling into sickness. Because Lord knows, we have a lot of people in this country falling into sickness. A lot. And we have the cure. Come on, stand up with me this morning. You just bow your heads where you are and you know, these services are, these moments that we have, you know, we don't know if we'll have these moments again. We don't know. Every day is a gift. But this is a moment for you. It's a moment. And in this moment, I'm asking you, and the Lord is asking you through me, to make a commitment. To make a commitment that you'll be that person that's willing to throw yourself into even tough situations to breathe life into people falling into sickness, to strengthen the weak. So one of the last things Jesus ever said was, I leave you, but I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is going to baptize you and empower you to be a witness. Book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses. This wonderful endowment of power, this energy from the Holy Spirit, it's for us to work. It's for us to work for the kingdom. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, would you just simply say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, yes. The Lord is calling you to go down the steps and lay with someone who's bloody and dead and die. Yes. The Lord strengthened you today to just infuse you with power from His Spirit to help people falling into sickness. Then ask Him right now, say, Lord, take these hands and strengthen them, anoint them, that these hands would bring healing to people. Can you imagine your hands bringing healing to people? Lord, that my hands will lay hands on other people and they will be healed. That these hands will prevent people from falling into sickness. That you will use me to intercede. And Lord, we just pray for our country right now. We pray for our nation that is just falling into sickness more every day, sicker and sicker, worse and worse. That you will raise up laborers in the kingdom that will intercede. We pray for ourselves, this church, this body, us, me, that I will never find myself in sitting in a window in a place of compromise, half in, half out, that I'll be all in. Lord, we humbly repent today for being inward, and we ask you to help us to be outward, that we will love the people in this house, that we'll be unified in this house, so that we can go forth as an army from this house and go out and get them. Raise up some real warriors in this house today, Lord. Some go out and get them kind of people. Lord, we're asking you for a revival right now. A revival to start in Southern Maryland. A real move of God that people will write books about. History books. Church history. Spark. An outpouring of your Spirit on us so that we can be light. We can be salt in this community. Take a moment now. We bind ourselves together. We pray for this county, surrounding counties, this whole region, and this state in the name of Jesus. That every person in Maryland that's falling into sickness will be prayed for, that you will send someone to intercept the fall. Lord, use this church. Use me. Use us. We stand in your house, in your presence today, and we say yes. We say yes to you. We say yes to this book. Yes to this calling. Yes to your word. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will do it. And now, Lord, I just pray that you will fill every person in this church with the Holy Ghost and with fire, with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Would you whisper that to the Lord right now? Fill me with your Spirit. Just fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. That we will not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. An endowment of power to be a witness to California, Hollywood, Tucson River, Canicsville, Calvert County, Anne Arundel County, St. Mary's County. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Special offering now for a very special ministry. You can see the work that Teen Challenge has done, changing lives and setting the captives free. And we have a place in that. You may not be in the front lines, you may not be working in a ministry, but you can be like what Paul said, laboring hard and putting your resources in place to help those who are weak, those who are sick, those who are hurting. So make out your checks to the church, our Father's house, and every penny will be passed on to this ministry. When Mike came here last time, 18 months ago, they needed like $10,000 in 1 week in order to put in a septic system or something at their house. And you guys responded. I believe the offering was close to $10,000. It was incredible. It was astounding. You guys responded in a miraculous way. The biggest offering we've ever taken up was taken up that Sunday. And when I gave it to Mike, he just wept with joy. And the ministry was tremendously benefited, impacted, because you were faithful and you were generous. And you were willing to labor hard that your resources can be used to help those who are weak and dying. So, we'll pass them the plates right now. I want to... You say, how can I make a difference? How can I make a change? I'm going to confess my sin to you. We had an amazing thing happen yesterday. Four guys, we were here cleaning the carpets yesterday for about 5 hours. And this young man comes in off the street. He was drunk. He might have been on drugs, too. And about a month before, this young man and three buddies had been broken down in front of the church, and they needed help, so I went out and helped them and gave them a jump to their car, gave them some money to get a new fan belt. And this guy came in and he says, I remember you. You helped me. You helped my buddy. And he was slurring and he was drunk and it was obvious he wasn't in his full mind. But he says, I am at the end of myself and I want to change. I want help. How can I be saved? And I'm like, well, I'm willing to tell you how you can be saved right now, but you're drunk and you're not even going to remember. And so there's not much we can do, but we'll talk to you and we're going to pray for you. And we're going to rebuke these demons. And so we gathered around and we stopped cleaning the carpets and we prayed for this guy. And one of the guys sat with him while we finished the job. And when we were done, we're like, you need to be here Sunday morning because Teen Challenge is coming and you need to be set free. And when you're in your right mind, I'll tell you the gospel and I'll set you free and God will save your soul. And he says, I want that. So I said, we're finished. We're going out the door. And I said, okay, where can we take you? Because he had no car. And he says, well, I'm from North Beach. I wanted him to be in California or Lexington Park or someplace nearby. I mean, North Beach, that's like an hour away. That's way up North Calvert County. And I'm like, man, it's 2:00. My head hurts. I'm tired. I want to go home. I'm not interested in taking you to North Beach. But I'll take you to Solomon's Island. You can catch the bus. I'll give you some money for food. And he says, okay, that's good. I'll see you tomorrow. I put this young man on a bus, gave him some money for food, sent him on his way. And this morning, the Lord convicted me. He said, Timothy, why didn't you take him home? He was drunk. He didn't have a car. How is he going to get from North Beach back to this church this morning? And he isn't here. He didn't come. I don't know why I didn't take him home. I know why. I was tired. I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to do anything more for God or anybody. I was done. Just like we all are. I gave him some money, and I gave him a blessing, and I gave him a prayer, and I sent him on his way. Be warm, be filled. And I sinned. I truly believe I miss God. That I could have taken him home, served him up, put him in bed, and brought him here this morning captive. He couldn't have gotten away. But I let him get away. His name is Keith. So pray that Keith will come back and give me another chance. For I truly believe I miss God. And that's how we miss God. It's so easy. They come into your life and they inconvenience you. And you don't want to take that extra step. You feel like, well, I did enough. I told him about Jesus. I gave him some money. I put some food in his stomach. What more do you want me to do, God? And it's so easy to miss the open door. I mean, duh. What must I do to be saved? Oh, come back tomorrow when you're not drunk, and then I'll tell you. So, I just challenge you. It's every day. This is a prayer I make, and obviously I missed it yesterday, but Lord, use me. Open my eyes that I might see the need and make a difference in the lives of these people who are dying and they're hurting and they're weak and they're falling out of those third-story windows. Just be available. That's all we're asking. That's all the Lord says. Be available. Amen, Mike? Okay, Mike and his crew will be in the lobby to answer any questions you might have. See how you might be involved in this ministry above and beyond. They're always looking for monthly support. This church supports this ministry monthly. This is one of God's bastions of light in the dark, dark world. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you all to be faithful, to honor the Lord, to serve Him, and to see what amazing and wonderful things He'll do in your life when you say, use me, Lord, I'm available. Amen. Be released.